Spring is here, and there's a whole new way to chai at Starbucks that's made perfect for you. Choose your sweetness, dial it up, or keep things light. Add a touch of pistachio, a hint of strawberry, or vanilla. Or make it a spring classic with lavender. Because this season, there's endless ways to chai at Starbucks.
Hey, what's up, players? WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. I just want to endorse some of my brothers that are doing an outstanding job of podcasts. I'm talking about the First Black Champ podcast, one of the greatest podcasts of all time, and it's growing and growing each and every day. Talking about my man, J.R. Bang, and Champ from the Port. Players, you better take a listen to them, and if you don't, I'll have J.R. Bang and Champ put them in a tag team match, and it's going to be a lot of trouble.
Yes, 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 indeed. Hello and good day to all of you on the final Sunday of 2025.
It is.
Yeah, man, it is, man. And, wrestling kept going and it's not going to stop into the new year. So we won't stop, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we can't shout the dude no more, even though that was like kind of what he coined, you know, not stopping. But obviously he should have. But we don't need to, because we're talking about wrestling like nobody else in the entire world, man. So listen, get ready, because for the last Sunday, man, you're going to have to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way. You're going to deal with, you're going to listen to, you're going to experience the First Black Champ podcast. And even though the year changes, some things will stay the same. I'm your podcast Intercontinental Champion, Camp from the Port.
And I am a sober J.R. Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, the Barber Chat Network, make sure you follow us on everything, the FBC, POD. And a lot to talk about, but I want to apologize because last week we were supposed to go, but I was slapped out of my mind. For those who know how great of a day it was for Bears fans, last Sunday on the Bears defeated the Packers. And then last night, the Packers lost to the Baltimore Ravens. So now the Chicago Bears are NFC North champions.
Nice.
So I'm just happy to be sober because I definitely wasn't last week in celebrating that victory, but NFC North champions. But we are back to talk wrestling like nobody else should. But, man, what a week it was, when a day it was, when we saw John Cena tap out to Gunther and everything. And we did the show live up to the John Cena match so we could watch it. You could go back and watch how upset we were with the Obafemi and Cody Rhodes match and all of that stuff. But let's now take it to the Cena match. Was it what you expected? I know it's a controversy surrounding the ending of the match. Traditionally, this is what happens. But what were your thoughts on the match?
You know, I was excited for the match. You know, for everybody that knows, like, we went live that day doing Saturday night's main event and preparing for the match. And I wanted to take in that moment, pause if necessary, because I was like, we don't get to see many retirements like this. Like, this is the first of its kind. Yes, we've seen final matches. We've seen final matches within a certain organization. We've seen retirement or loser leaves organization matches. But we never really seen a play a year in the making being set up and for a match and what to expect. And even though I love personally giving y'all our natural reactions, I wanted to sit and watch that just to process it. And for me, I think it was it was a good smack, a good match within a swan song. So I didn't like I wasn't trying to break out the Meltzer report to give it five stars or like or one. It was just more for me of like, how are they gonna do this? Because no, wait, not even because of. I'll say this. Even though we're talking about the Time Is Now tournament, and I felt that either way, whether it went LA Knight or Gunther, the universe won. But now looking at the match, looking back and reflecting, no, Gunther had to win that match. Gunther had to be the last opponent because the last thing people really wanted to do was unabashedly, unapologetically, and over-the-top cheer John Cena with no interference. And interference would have happened had LA Knight won that match. Gunther, you could easily just pick to boo him because he doesn't feed off of that as a character anyway. So I felt it was, I felt that was ended up being great. And I'll stop there for the ending. But overall, I say it was a good match, a really good match. You got a lot of nostalgia. You got a lot of one last times. You got some action. You got a lot of suspense. There's nothing bad to say about the match for me.
The match went the way it should have went. It ended the way that it was supposed to. And the match was a great match to be an ending for John Cena. I wasn't expecting too much outside of what we got. As far as the match goes, now getting everybody ringside and all that stuff to pay homage, that's expected too. But as far as what I saw good storytelling. I saw homage paid. And I saw Cena do the deal to put over somebody. Now, we can debate all day long if Gunther was the right person to be put over. We can debate all day long if the tournament was the right way of going about selecting John Cena's last opponent. But what we can't argue with is we're not talking about this match if Cena wins. We're not having a conversation about things if Cena wins. We'll get that real quick celebration, kids don't cry, all of that stuff. But what John Cena did was put over the next person and put them in the spot that they probably would not have been otherwise, because as great as Gunther is, he's not going to be in a situation like this. Now, of course, people are going to handle it the way that they handle it, especially wrestling fans. They're going to handle it in a way that they want to handle it. With that being said, how do you feel that the WWE is handling it? Like when we get to Monday Night Raw 2 days later and even last week, do you feel like the momentum is carrying on? Do you feel like it was much to do about nothing? How do you feel about Gunther and what you've seen now after the John Cena situation?
I think he's in a great place. This is wrestling, people. This is real wrestling. like he's, to me, this is the equivalent of the Iron Sheik at this point, as far as being over. Like this is the Iron Sheik beating Bob Backlund. This is Nikolai Volkov trying to do the Russian anthem in the ring. Like this is top of the top. And respectfully to those guys, but Gunther's even just now, was a way bigger star than those guys were. So, I don't know. Maybe not the Sheik. Maybe he need another year or two for the Sheik. I don't know. Or it could be a dead heat. But I liked everything and how he's handling it, because he's supposed to be remorseless. He's supposed to be cold. His time is now. He is the present. He is the guy that for the last 3 years we were talking about was going to be having this moment anyway. And he got it without a WrestleMania main event, by the way. You know what I'm saying? So that, I think, is great. Hey, I even love the fact that AJ Styles was posted by the Whip, and he was like, hey, buddy, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, that's hard. That's hard as hell. Hey, Gunther is doing his job, man. He is... He's fish grease to me right now, and I think the universe acted the way they should act, though. Cause look, it's wrestling, but just like dude from like what, maybe 15, 20 years ago, it's real to us, damn it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so hey, and if it's real to us, fuck dude, you know what I'm saying? You beat John Cena, bro. Like, you made him give up. You made him tap. He lost and he left with a loss because of you. Fuck you. Like, that's the energy. That's wrestling. That's what we here for. I'm not here to make this shit real. I'm not meant for it to be like artificial or whatever. No, just like in your favorite TV show when somebody dies or something and it hurts your feelings. Yo, this the same shit. This the same shit. So no, I think everything in the universe is right. Finally, and we going into the new year in the real way, and I'm excited.
Yeah. I was laughing at everybody getting up on the internet talking about how this was a bad decision and John Cena should have won. I was laughing at everybody that had that opinion. It was a couple of people was like, oh, this is how you do a finale, a farewell with Sting. And I don't know how true this statement was for Ric Flair. Don't know, but I will repeat what I saw on the internet.
Yeah.
When they said that, how come Sting didn't lose his final match in AEW? And he's like, yeah, it was nobody to put over. Yeah. And when I read that quote, I started to think, who could Sting put over? But then, this is no disrespect to Sting whatsoever. Because if anybody listens to this podcast, y'all know how much I love Sting. Sting is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. But would we have cared in AEW? Strictly speaking, AEW. Mm-hmm. Would we have cared about the person who Sting put over? In AEW, last night, MJF became world champion in a fatal four-way, and the PLE before that, Samoa Joe won the belt. So they're playing hot potato right now. Mm-hmm. Who out of the four in that match? MJF, Swerve, Hangman Page, Samoa Joe. Who would we have been like, oh man, they took out Sting, and really cared afterwards? Nobody.
Yeah. Hey, and to that point, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. I was going to say, and to that point, the difference between that and Sting is Sting showed up as a legacy act. Sting showed up as a legacy act that pseudo-retired in the WWE and got inducted to the Hall of Fame, too, though. Like, we can't just say shit because, because oh, this is how it should happen. It, like, AEW... Any match Sting wins, whether he's in his prime, whether he's in development, whether he's past his prime, whether he's a legacy act, Sting getting a W in AEW helps AEW more than it hurts Sting. Helps Sting. You know what I'm saying? Like they can be like, oh, even somebody in their 50s or 60s, 70s knows who Sting is. And if nothing else, we'll always go back to WCW. As we remember him, and we're like, yeah, damn, yeah. Right, Sting should beat everybody over here. I don't give a fuck how old he is, like,
right,
like, that's how it should be,
right? And the other thing about Sting is, and again, you're talking about a P1 Stinger. Only thing I like about Sting was dude attitudes. We talk about how how the original theme song is the greatest theme song, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You said it the best. He came in as a legacy act. Why are we going to care about a retirement tour that much so from a legacy act? I'll even go further. There's been reports that Chris Jericho is planning on signing with the WWE. That was reports about that. I don't know how far as it has went. I am a day one Chris Jericho fan. I'm not going to care about a retirement tour in the WWE with Chris Jericho because I know that's what he's getting when he gets here. If I wanted to see, there's people. Let's go back. Let's go back to Draymond Green, Paul Pierce, where Draymond Green famously told Paul Pierce that don't nobody care about no retirement tour for you. Who do you think you are, Kobe? Wrestling fans. Stop hearing the retirement tour buzzword and getting excited. Because quite honestly, we don't care. We don't care. I didn't care about, you know who retirement tour I did not give a shit about? Stings.
Yeah.
I cared nothing about that retirement tour because when I think of AEW, but when I think of Sting, I don't think about AEW. When I think about Sting, I don't think about WWE. When I think of Sting, I think of TNA and WCW. If Sting would have did this in TNA, I would have been way more excited. Mm-hmm. I don't care about Sting and Darby Allin wrestling somebody and saying, this is going to be my last match.
Yeah.
Because you're in a place where you didn't build, you didn't create, you didn't push.
Yeah.
That is the only time that is the only time a retirement tour should matter. So when I see John Cena day one to his last day in the WWE, I care about that. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, y'all. I don't care about an AJ Styles retirement tour in WWE. Yeah. Guess why I care? TNA.
Yep.
He wrestles his last match in TNA versus Leon Slater or Moose or anybody in the system. Thank you, AJ. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles doing a retirement tour in WWE. Don't do nothing for me.
Yeah.
And here's the even better part, in my opinion, this is even a better part of what we're talking about right here. Mm. Who is the retirement tour for? Is it for the wrestler or is it for the fans?
Mm.
If it's for the fans, you should agree. Man, Sting doing his last match at AEW? All right. What else he going to do with that?
Right.
Because he ain't going back to TNA.
Yeah.
AJ Styles. We all want AJ Styles to go wrestle in TNA. Mm-hmm. Chris Jericho? Okay. But if we know it's a retirement tour, when you sign, if we know this is your last round when you sign, and you sign in a place that you ain't been in a while, you should not care. You should just pay homage and call it a day. But you should not care in the fact of where you're just sitting there like, oh my God, this person just wrestled Darby Allin in his last match. Because that's not going to do anything for Darby Allin because he's in a place where even though he Sting, it's not going to do anything for the person that he's wrestling.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Hey, you said a lot of great things here. And I'm glad you brought up the Paul Pierce, Draymond Green, because they don't love you like that. It's one of my favorite quotes that I just like to yell out.
Like that,
they don't love you like that. But the other problem that we are getting is that we're going to start going down the line, and it's going to be quick, just like this was. And somebody's going to get Chris Paul out here. Somebody's going to get Chris Paul. So retirement tours, I'm going to say it. This is my guarantee hope and guarantee for this week. Retirement tours are going to stop. And y'all are going to set up retirement matches. If AJ Styles wants to face Samoa Joe at TNA, and that's his final match, run it. I'm cool with it. Because he could win or lose that match. Don't even matter. But there ain't too many wrestlers of today that have the impact to, quote, pass the torch like John Cena did. And I think that's the other part that people are missing here. Love to Sting. We love Sting. Sting is a part of our childhood. He is one of the greatest for us. But Sting didn't have no torch to pass nobody. Sting didn't have a lighter. He didn't have the big flame for the grill. He didn't have a match. He didn't have anything that he could toss to Darby or Adam Page, Swerve, nobody. All he has is the legacy of being the fucking man. And that's okay. That's right. He didn't even have that. He didn't have one of them to give to nobody. At least, like, because I think we, as we talk retirement, like, we only talk about three people. We talk about Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, and John Cena at this point. Everybody else is kind of retired, and we be acknowledging it. But the people that have, like, legacy attached to it, and they really went over the top with the montages and the positive things to say, you know, unfortunately, everybody else that got that much praise have died. And some of them got it prematurely. But that ain't really where we want to stay here. Hey, look, even what Russ keeps, even what Russ said, and I definitely agree with it. I mean, Sting not beating Triple H at WrestleMania also hurt any retirement tour chances beyond that as well, because damn, we just gonna get rid of the NWO and Sting and WCW all in one match.
But what did see? This is where I get on my soapbox.
But I feel you.
Especially this is Vince McMahon's WWE.
Yeah.
That's supposed to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's literally supposed to happen. That is what we got.
Yeah.
What we got was Sting versus Triple H.
Yep.
What was supposed to happen? Ain't nobody from WCW about to come up here and beat me, beat my wrestler at my biggest show. Event. Right.
Yeah.
The exception is Goldberg.
Yeah.
Wait, but both of them gonna be out.
Yeah. So and if we had a choice, we'd pick Sting over Goldberg, but I get it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, but to say all of that, I don't care if it's Jericho, like we're not gonna get this moment again, even though we might not love it in totality. Which I think is also a great reason why. I mean, look from January to December, how this whole John Cena retirement thing started versus how it went, versus how it flipped, versus how it ended. Wrestling should be so unpredictable that you can't do this anyway. So now you add an age and injury, and then you add, oh, you're not the top guy. You still don't move the most merch. People don't want to see you in the main event spot. And see, that's where we get to the Chris Paul area, because on one hand, y'all calling him one of the top 10 point guards of all time, but yet in this era right now in this year, y'all say there's 11 players better than them right now, and I don't think those two things can exist when you're talking retirement tour. So,
man.
With wrestling, so with wrestling in mind, with strictly wrestling in mind. We gotta start settling for retirement matches, that one final moment, that last go round, that last gasp, because hey, there's tiers to this legend, this icon, this all this. It's levels to it. And y'all seen the level. Y'all seen the level. Please understand that just because you're 47 and you want to give it up, that you don't earn that. Like you don't deserve that. You earn that. And that's the difference between John Cena and everybody else.
Look, let's just stop with retirement tours altogether.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna stop.
Why? Let's just dead it. let's just stop it. I don't want to hear this person's retiring and he's going to be doing all that. You should have learned your lesson with the Kurt Angle joint, but you didn't.
Yep.
Stop with the retirement tour. Do one of three things. One, just wrestle, lose your match, and we don't see you again. Mm-hmm. Stone Cold, The Rock. The Rock finally won. We didn't see Stone Cold wrestle no more. Mm-hmm. I bet. Two, just disappear all together. Mm-hmm. Just do it all together. Hey, man, I'm out. Or if you're going to wrestle, hey, man, loser leaves WWE. A retirement match. Just do that. Let's go back to what I said before. Just lose your match and be done with it. Stone Cold lost to The Rock. We ain't see Stone Cold wrestle in the ring. Shawn Michaels lost to Stone Cold. We didn't see him wrestle in the ring for a while. His back was messed up. That's the best way of doing it. That's the best way of doing it right there. Just should I lost at WrestleMania? Just gonna disappear. Next thing you see me, lost some weight, grew some hair. I'm here. That's one. The best way of doing it from a ratings perspective is a blood feud. If it's not gonna be a blood feud, it's not going to be a feud that gets me invested. I don't care about a retirement match. Mm. Let's go to Ric Flair versus Mr. Perfect. Loser leaves WWE. We knew them two hated each other after, what was that, Primetime Wrestling, when Ric Flair and Mr. Perfect got into it, and Mr. Perfect joined the Macho Man in the tag match versus Ric Flair and Razor Ramon. And then after that, it was a loser leaves WWE match on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And we didn't see Ric Flair after that because he lost. I don't know what's going on in the chat.
Ryan Rogers is wilding.
Yeah. So that's the best way of doing it. So if it was, let's say John Cena versus Gunther, because like I said, I hate it. The time is now tournament. No, I wanted Gunther to just go beat the shit out of John Cena. Mm-hmm. And John Cena say, I'm going to muster up everything that I have to wrestle you. And they wrestle each other. And then after a while, somebody say, you two can't be in the WWE together. Mm-hmm. Loser leaves WWE. Or go back to what? What was that? WrestleMania 7? Ultimate Warrior Macho Man retirement match. Mm-hmm. Damn, this dude got to go. Yeah. Don't tell me the retirement tour is coming. Mm-hmm. Just put it out there. I know John Cena going to lose to Gunther because Gunther ain't going nowhere. But at least the illusion is there.
Yeah.
Bring back it. Retirement matches. Bring back loser leaves matches, or just let them to wrestle. The retiree loses, and we don't see them no more until it's like a Raw where they bring it back the legends. And again, that person that lost some weight, they grew some hair, and they talking in the ring. Again, after that, just disappeared. John Cena did not have to come back and say, yo, this is my last year, but this is what I'm going to do. He did not have to do that. we were all fine and dandy with John Cena doing Peacemaker in all of the commercials and being half naked at the Oscars. We were cool right. with that. We did right. not have to see him back. So since we did not have to see him back, he technically did not have to do what he did. But that's also why, even though I'm a little iffy on this Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre thing, mm-hmm. this is why blood feuds are important. This is where real energy behind hatred, with hatred behind this match is important. Because even with Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels, even though it wasn't like pure hatred, Ric Flair let it be known, fam, I'm still me, and I will whoop everybody ass in here. And since y'all think I don't have it no more, the next time I lose, I'm going to retire. Mm. And he called this shot. He said, Sean, I want to go up against you. And Sean was like, nah. And he got slapped a couple of times. And he's like, you know what? Bet. So for me, bring back blood feuds. Bring back hatred. Because in a retirement match, I need to know going in, this person trying to take this person out. Mm-hmm. And this person is doing whatever he can to salvage what he got. Make that emotional for me. It was nothing emotional around Gunther versus John Cena because of the way they positioned it. With that being said, it was still a great match. It was still a great moment for Gunther. Even the John Cena smirk, like, man,
yeah,
I'm good. I even like that because it was just like,
oh yeah,
man, y'all got it. I'm out of here. Boom, boom, yeah. boom. Now, what should this mean for Gunther? Like, we get the Raw. He's getting booed. He letting folks know, I don't give a damn about how y'all feel because I got y'all hero out. This bitch ass tapped. Not me.
Right.
Then you see him go through, you know, the locker room, and everybody's looking at him like, I can't believe you. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles is, like you said, at the car. You give him the you can't see me thing. On Raw, he has the back and forth with CM Punk. How should this go on for Gunther?
Man, look, exactly as I think it's business as usual. We, I think short-term memory has got people a little jaded. That losing to Sami Zayn was supposed to happen just to progress him. Like losing to Jey Uso, that was to help, you know what I'm saying? That's to help the business. We forget that this who Gunther was, okay? He hadn't lost in over a year twice. Like, the stat they threw out, Michael Cole threw out the stat, I want to say, on WrestleMania, when he lost to Sami Zayn, that since being on the main roster, Gunther lost like three times. I was like, what? What kind of stat is that? So, hey, look, hey, we back in business. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, hey, oh, we got the shipment in? Okay, bet. Hey, we're about to open a little early because, you know, we left them hanging, but we back. That's how I look at this. Nothing about this is new to me. This isn't altered reality. This isn't parallel universe. This is wrestling. This is the character that is Gunther on the main roster for the WWE. This is exactly what it is. He show up, you know what I'm saying, in some fly European shit, or maybe just his robe. He start beating people the fuck up, and he take titles, and he dare you to say and do something about it. And you can't do nothing, and you can't say nothing, so you shut the fuck up, and you let him go do his match, because that's your plans for the day, unless you want to get the shit slapped out of you. That's the Gunther character, guys and girls. I don't know what else y'all expect in here. That's why I love the ending. I love the ending of the match and what it represented for both of them. It's on one hand, you got, hey, Gunther was like, hey, look, I'm going to put everybody down. Everybody's getting laid the fuck down. That's just what it is with me. And John Cena was like, you know what? I live by never give up, but it's time to call it one, man. I've lived a good life. We out of here. It was almost like how they say a lot of people with the grandparents, the great-grandparents, they just know it's their time, and they be like, look, I just want to gather y'all here, man. Be like, look, it's been love. I appreciate y'all. Do y'all best. I left this, and, yo, it's my time. You know what I'm saying? So, like Cena was in there smiling like a proud dad in wrestling. oh, yo, my son is about to kill shit now. So that's – so for me, yeah, this is business as usual for Gunther and they don't have to even use the I beat John Cena thing. Like, they don't need to use it tomorrow. They don't need it because this who he is. Hey, and the less he acknowledges it, the better. He gonna be like, hey, who's next to get laid down? That's all I do here. So he should be fine.
Yeah, I just hope they don't serve everybody who's about to retire up to him.
Now that's what I don't
I said, want. Yeah, that's what I don't want. I said this last year. I'll say it again. If Cody Rhodes is going to stay a face, it needs to be Cody versus Gunther at WrestleMania. We saw what it could be at the Royal Rumble. What was that? Bash at Berlin or whatever, I think, whatever one of them joints. We saw what it could be with Gunther versus Cody. And I think Gunther versus Cody and the character that Cody is perfect for Gunther. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see Gunther versus CM Punk. I don't want to see CM Punk fighting for for John Cena. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him fighting for the old heads. I don't want to see none of that. I would rather see CM Punk go up against somebody else. But for me, all roads will lead to Gunther winning the Royal Rumble and him picking Cody Rhodes and them having a hell of a match at WrestleMania for the Undisputed Championship. Don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what I would book because I've seen them two match up. Not as high profile as it could have been, which is great. So to a lot of the viewers, it will seem like them wrestling for the first time.
Yeah.
And the fact that Gunther is the killer that we think he is, and Cody is the Rocky type that we know he is, I think it will lead to a great match that we will watch between the two. But we will see what happens coming up. Let's move on to the first Black Champ portion of today's show. And we have a new United States champion, Carmelo Hayes. It was leaked, 2 weeks ago? But you actually saw it this past Friday. Carmelo Hayes, your new United States championship, defeating Dragunov in a, what's that, a United States champ? Only one. I feel like I'm the only one. Am I the only one that's tired of these United States Championship challenges?
I was tired when John Cena invented it. I was like, oh man, what? That's what we doing? We just gonna just give people opportunity. I'm like, I get it, America, land of opportunity. I get the play, but that's one thing that I want to start and end with him though. Now that the last person to win the Invitational has lost, and somebody that at least advanced in one round of the Time Is Now tournament, now do your thing with it. And I'm not here for the United States Championship Challenge every week. I don't. It just feels insincere. Just push people, dog. give them a storyline.
I hate it. I think that these challenges make any title that you do a challenge with makes it look like the TV championship.
Mm.
And this is not the TV championship. This is the United States championship. Mm-hmm. And there's, I guess, even though we've titled this episode The Man in Black, some of these shorts are going to be called Blood Feuds. I just want somebody to say, I want the United States championship. You don't deserve it. I beat your ass. Let's fight over this belt. I just want that to happen. I don't want to see any more challenges. I don't want to see the champ go down to the ring and say, hey, I'm the United States champion, and I want to give somebody in the back an opportunity. Who could it be? Let's wait around to see who music plays. Oh, I can't believe it. It's Javon Evans. Oh, he's getting the United States championships.
His first chance. Night on SmackDown.
Oh, his first night on SmackDown. Oh, I'm tired of that. No. I want somebody to look at the United States championship. Looks like Melo is a face right now. Mm-hmm. I want somebody to see it. I want somebody to kick him in the face. I want some. Grab your Intercontinental Championship belt, Cap. Grab your belt.
I'm saying.
I want somebody to hold, stand over them. I want somebody to hold the belt. I want Michael Cole or Joe Tessitore to say he has his eyes on the United States Championship. And I want some matches. I want to go against somebody that I haven't wrestled yet because I want to give somebody opportunity. Who could it be? Oh, I can't believe it. It's Ethan Page. He already has two belts. He has the NXT North America Championship, and he's the mixed tag team champion with Chelsea Green. So what happens if he's the North America champion and the United States champion? Oh, my goodness. Let's see what happens. Ding, ding, ding.
Like, he'll control most of America.
And he will control America. He could, because he has the Canadian flag on the North American belt, and then he's the United States, and he has the belt from Mexico. He will literally be the continent champion. They have to call him the continental champion because, oh, my God, he has Canada. He has United States. Yes, Mexico. Oh, my goodness. He's close to world domination. Is Cody Rhodes next? I'm tired of that shit.
Yeah, because if he won all the belts, he would be the world champion.
Yeah. Oh, last time I saw this is when Lance Storm did it in WCW. And he won all the belts but the world championship. And he changed the name of the title. It was like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders title was the Hardcore Championship, and he gave it to Elix Skipper. Oh, my God. Can Ethan Page do that? We got to go. Like, no. Yeah. Ethan Page, just go look at Melo. Just attack him. Jump on him. Have both those belts on your arm, and then look at the United States Championship and say, I want this too. Raise it up. And then y'all actually fight. Feud. Jump each other, backstage, audience, at the bar, whatever. I miss blood feuds. I miss it. I want people to hate each other, and I want somebody to hate the fact that this person got this belt. Not, I challenge you because I think I'm a worthy competitor. No, I hate you, and I want that belt. Because with that belt, I'm the number one. See, remember back in the day, if you used to have a mid-card championship, you was automatically the number one contender. Yep. And why still got this pencil like I'm holding the mic?
I was rolling with it. I was like, hey.
Like, don't you miss those days where if you was the Intercontinental Champion and you went Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they had the Intercontinental Champion at the top. It's like Hulk Hogan. Honky Tonk Man, Macho Man, like, don't, yeah. Yeah, no, also no, Warrior, sure. Rick Rude, Butch Reed, like, don't,
Yeah. Those days?
You know, no, absolutely. I mean, even WCW and how they positioned the U.S. title. I was like, oh, this is, to me, that was the most third, that was the third important, most important title in wrestling.
Man. Hey, stop this goddamn challenge shit. I'm tired of the challenge. Fight. Like, just fight. I hate you. I want your belt. What was that? I think it was the TV championship. I wish Hood was here. But I think it was the TV championship where, or the United States championship, one of them. Dusty Rhodes, Tully Blanchard, I quit match for the mid-card championship. Not for the world, for the mid-card championship. Goddamn, Dusty Rhodes was trying to stab this man. No, Magnum TA, excuse me. It's Magnum TA, Tully Blanchard, U.S. or TV championship. That motherfucker got a goddamn chair, leg of a chair, was about to poke this man in the eye for the United States championship. Bring that back. Bring that.
I'm with you.
You've heard me say on this show, we need grudge matches back. Feel we need grudge matches back. We need blood feuds back, and we need to stay. Forget these challenges. Let's have people who just want the belt and will go try to get it by any means necessary. And that is the only reason why I unfortunately do not care about Carmelo Hayes winning his championship, because all they gonna do is he gonna come and be like, I want to challenge somebody, do the 6'7" thing, and then you're gonna have Trick Williams come. Oh, they had a history in NXT. Trick Williams, Mello. Trick Mello game. What now? Is Trick a member of SmackDown? Oh my goodness. It's Mello. Obafemi. Oh my goodness. Everybody from NXT wants a shot at the United States Championship. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's Josh Briggs. Where did he come from?
Hey, listen. If they do that, he'll be future Endeavor. Now, this is another uncomfortable conversation that we need to have about wrestling. All these challenges ain't built for everybody. Like, no. You can do it when you're John Cena or when you're Sami Zayn. Even for Dragunov, because I like the story they were telling about, like, oh, he's like a fierce competitor. He's a very stiff worker. And they're like, you know, people are afraid to wrestle with dude because they fear getting hurt. And even that was like, okay, that's kind of an interesting angle. I'm like, but he's not American. So now we got so now we got Carmelo Hayes. And really, with his core character, which is the I'm him, Carmelo Hayes, he shouldn't be trying to give nobody an opportunity. Like, this should really be a 180 or 90 degree even. Where he's like, yeah, I got the belt. And you know what? I don't think none of y'all can fuck with me. So y'all gonna have to do a tournament or something because I might have lost in that the Time Is Now tournament, but I took the belt and I got rid of the challenge that he created. So come get me. You're like, whatever, you know what I mean? So, but the thing is, also though, for Carmelo Hayes, unfortunately, and this is just main roster talk, I'm not including his NXT run. Unfortunately, even though we like to celebrate black champs here, if he's going to do the challenge, I don't have him making it to the Royal Rumble with that belt, let alone two SmackDowns. so he better thank God that the next SmackDown is next year, because I'd have him losing. I'd have him losing it in 2 weeks. If he's
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. We ain't seen it. What's the tall dude next? Omos. Oh, my goodness. Omos is challenging. We ain't seen Omos in the ring since one of the Saudi Arabia joints. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's almost impossible.
Look, Cam, I'm going to say this before we move on. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this belt and these challenges, the main reason why it makes no sense is because the whole storyline is the chance. All Mello was looking for is a chance. All Dragunov was looking for is a chance.
the person who was looking for the chance shouldn't be talking about pay it forward in wrestling. Nah, I'm going to try to keep this as much as possible. Yep. And the other part about this, too, is to me, I won't even speak for Kemp on this. I'll only speak for me. To me, there's no way for you to build a strong mid-card if you're doing challenges.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
You find the people that you feel like is good for this at this moment. Let's see what they can bring us. Let's start this feud. Let's see how it ends so we can see what we got.
Yeah.
I would rather see a best of seven like we did with Benoit and Booker T, or like the old head saw with Nikita Koloff and Magnum TA, then these challenges. I even go as further to say there's challenges and then there's fighting champions.
Yeah.
It's the way you word it.
Yeah, for sure.
Bret Hart was a fighting champion. Bret Hart would defend that Intercontinental Championship against all comers. He would defend that World Championship against all comers. You will watch Superstars and you will see Bret Hart versus Virgil. And they'll shake up and then they'll wrestle. I would rather see a fighting champion than I would to see an open challenge.
Yeah.
Because a fighting champion means I'm taking on all comers, but it's going to be that one that's going to come through. I got to think this one through. Open challenge, to me, means just like we could see Solo get a title shot, we could see Camacho get a title shot.
No, for sure.
Don't think we need to be seeing Camacho or Tagovailoa get a title shot. But when you have an open challenge, hey, let me go ahead and give him my shot.
Yeah.
Bring it back to the family. Forget all that. Yeah. All right. Now today's episode, I put up another Man in Black because we also found out who's the Man in Black and his Austin Theory.
Yeah.
It was a couple of people that was out there that was with me. Man, what if this is Montez Ford? I even see somebody say it was Zoe Stark in the mask.
That's wild. That's wild.
But now that we know that it's Austin Theory and Austin Theory has wrestled on Raw, was this the right decision?
For Bron Breakker, yes. For my entertainment and excitement, no. I mean, that's really what I got. I mean, listen, you don't want to run the risk. If this vision thing is going to be a thing, that's really all I had.
I'm going to let you finish before I say what I got to say.
But if you're going to do this vision thing for real, and Bron Breakker is the future, Bron Breakker is the leader, Bron Breakker is the person I think is on the main event night one at WrestleMania. And I've been saying that since War Games. Austin Theory is the best person because it's the could have been versus the really been. You know what I'm saying? It's the, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, hey, Austin Theory, you could have been this. You should have been this, but you're not. So we're going to put you with the guy that is, and hopefully it works out for you. And cool, because now Bronson Reed has a little more time. It just helps out the faction. None of it really, like, it don't help us as wrestling fans. We don't give a shit about this. We don't care. This don't matter. But it helps Bron Breakker, though. It's like, hey, look at all the people I'm above. Look, they all behind me. Like, literally, look. But that's it. It don't matter. Nothing else matters.
Man, first of all, your pause. Matter of fact, you're just ending it. Just lets me know how bad of a decision this was for the WWE. It's like, nah, I don't like it for my enjoyment. It's good for Brian Breaker, and that's it. This, to me, was... I try not to get down on bookers. Mm-hmm. Let me just say, I try not to get down on bookers. Because at the end of the day, this is a television show. And yeah, some things you see don't make sense. Mm-hmm. But it's all a part of a storyline that's going to balance itself out in the first place. This is sports entertainment. It's more entertainment than it is sports. In determining who does what, right? So I try to give bookers some grace, but on this one, I can't. Mm. This was the most anticlimactic revealing that I've ever seen in wrestling. Like, this is even Vince McMahon pulling off the cape announcing that he's the Undertaker's benefactor, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Even that was better than what I saw when Austin Theory unveiled his mask.
Yeah.
Because I was like, ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
And then hear him on Raw explain himself to Paul Heyman. That, to me, made it worse.
Oh, yeah. Because
if you're going to do that at this point, you just beating people ass and stomping them in the face to make a statement.
Yeah.
Austin Theory, to me, should have, if you're going to do this, a real statement need to be made by putting somebody in the dirt.
And oh, yeah, did. Sure.
And hearing him talk to Paul Heyman, and even hearing him talk to Bronson Reed, because when he was talking about Bronson Reed, basically like, follow me, I'll show you how to win. What?
Right. It's like,
where have you been? Last time I saw you, you was teaming with Grayson Waller losing.
Yeah, right.
Last time I checked, I tsunami Roman Reigns and beat him twice. Where were you? You were in catering. Yeah. You were sad. You were moping. Don't ever tell me to follow your lead, fam. Who are you?
Yeah, right.
Who are you?
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, if it was Montez Ford, I would have said the same thing that I'm saying right now. Yeah. This man in black thing made no sense to me then. It really makes no sense to me now, because nobody that you put in that spot is supposed to be better than Bron Breakker or Bronson Reed.
Yep.
None of them. So really, you just gotta, to me, you bring in Austin Theory to take the pin. That's it. That's all. Go look at Evolution. When they brought in Batista, you like, oh shit, he ain't that. When the Four Horsemen brought in Lex Luger, Barry Windham, oh snap. Sid Vicious, oh, this is Paul Roma.
Yeah, no, for
Austin
sure.
Austin Theory joining the Vision, the way that it's set, including Logan Paul in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not even over Logan Paul.
No.
This, to me, adding Austin Theory to this storyline is adding Paul Roma to the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Why? What's the point here? Is he the one that's taking the pin all the time? You eventually beat him up and you kick him out the group and he's a good guy now or something? Maybe this is the case. But if I'm Bron Breakker, I'm looking at Austin Theory like, if I'm Bronson Reed, I am literally like, why are you telling me to lead you, fam? I beat Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Last time I saw you and Roman Reigns together, he beat your ass at SummerSlam. And he scared you so much, you cashed in on the United States Championship.
Literally about to say that. I was like, bro, you can't, one, you can't show up here in all black looking like the TikTok baby and then telling me how to win. when I just watched you run from a dude and fuck up Money in the Bank for 1 year. You can't do that. You can't. Like, who are you talking to?
Hey, Rush just asked, would it have been better if Logan Paul was the masked man? No.
Well, better again, than Austin Theory, yes.
Well, better than Austin Theory, yes. But in general, no. Yeah, no. Unless it's going to be somebody that Bron Breakker actually fears that can take his spot. Right. And there's nothing that Austin Theory has done for us to even think that his spot can be lost by this man.
Yeah.
I would have rather it been Montez Ford just because he would have been in a bigger spotlight. But Montez Ford, Bron Breakker. As much as I'm a Montez Ford guy, this is Bron Breakker territory. This is why Bron Breakker is wrestling CM Punk on the Netflix anniversary.
Yeah.
This is why that is the case. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah, and not for nothing. For what, 6 months, if not longer now, Bron Breakker has done nothing but lay down world champions. Like, all the world champions, all the legends, they've, even the current stars, they've been speared, they've been put to the mat. That's Cody, that's Jay, that's Cena, that's Roman, that's Seth, like, Punk. Like, he clearing everybody. You can't put nobody with him that's a threat, because right now he's the threat. He's the ultimate threat in the WWE in general right now. They're even keeping him and Gunther away from each other. That's how big of a threat he is. They're not even crossing paths with same enemies. That's how over he is, and that's how destructive he's been. So really, I mean, and look, it was in my mind, especially after they put down Seth Rollins, that, oh, it's too many people here now. So them even adding Logan Paul and them adding Austin Theory, I'm like, this ain't good for them. This is, it's giving them more TV time. And then all of a sudden, the switch hit on Bron Breakker's promos. So now you don't even need Logan Paul to talk. You don't need him to talk. So now what? So that's why the Austin Theory thing is ill-timed. Shoot, he probably should have been the masked man that joined before Logan Paul decided he wanted to be in War Games. He probably should have did it then.
Yeah, I'll even go as far as say this, and I might be taking it too far, but somebody's going to have to prove me differently, and that person's going to be Austin Theory. Austin Theory brings down the value of the Vision.
Mm. Yeah.
What is the point? What does his presence mean? Who does he fear? Who does he even bring in as a rival? Do we want to see Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins? Like, let's say, for instance, Seth Rollins is healthy. Right? Would we want to see Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins? No. So, if you wouldn't want to see that, he cost CM Punk and them War Games. Would we want to see Austin Theory versus CM Punk? No. Austin Theory versus Roman Reigns? No. Austin Theory versus Jey Uso? No. If you don't want to see that, this makes no sense. Yeah. To me, this Man in Black storyline shouldn't have never taken place, because the people that's in the Vision are the people you need in the Vision. The only other addition that you could use for the Vision is a old head.
Yep.
Because you got the two power dudes.
Yeah.
You got the finesser. You need the OG that's going to help Paul Heyman put them in line. Make sure they have the tools that's needed. Yeah. That ain't Austin Theory.
Yeah.
You don't need the person that wants to prove that he's a world champion.
Right. Yeah, like if AJ Styles want to join the Vision, you get no complaints out of me. Now I want to see how he retires now.
Yeah. Yo, I'm going to make sure we straight. Hey, Paul, I'm going to make sure we straight. I'm going to make sure we in line. And I'm going to make sure that Bron Breakker's a world champion. Mm-hmm. So then when Bron Breakker breaks away, he aiming at the old head that he know he might be better than now, but he has all of the techniques and characters of taking this belt off of me.
Yep.
This made no sense to me then. And when they unveiled Austin Theory, it made no sense to me now. And Russ, what if Chris Jericho was the old head for the Vision? Yes. Yes. Because, but we knew that wasn't going to be the case, because then as soon as he would have been unveiled, somebody would have said, he ain't that athletic to do all of this shit at 55. He just climbing cages and curb stomping somebody and jumping out. What are we doing here? Yeah. Somebody would have been like, yo, they unveiled Chris Jericho, but that was really Grayson Waller under the mask. Like, that's what would have happened. So, but yes, Chris Jericho to me is a perfect fit for the Vision, because he could give them all of the tricks of the trade of not only winning the championship, but keeping it.
Yeah.
And then when they break apart, they say this wrestler learned from all of these people. And now he's taking all of that, and now he's the world champion. Couple of joints before we get out of here. Javon Evans, Obafemi, Trick Williams. They're all supposedly free agents. There's no draft, so they're free agents.
Good.
So all of them are expected to be called up soon. Who do you think out of those three is better, it will be better set up to be the star out of the group?
Better set up to be the star. You know, usually I would say Trick Williams, but man, I won't lie. That SmackDown main roster crowd reacted very favorable to Obafemi, and I didn't think that would happen like that. Don't get me wrong. I think
they, well, that entrance.
Yeah, man. Like, that's a real problem. Obafemi, and I saw this earlier. Obafemi is everything that we thought the Apollo Crews pandemic character was going to be, effortlessly. So there's nothing to believe here. Like, no, he pulled up like that. So biggest star, man, Trick Williams got his work cut out for him, because I think it's Obafemi now. Now that I saw that interest and just seeing how the whole interaction with Cody went, all of that. That Saturday night's main event crowd, that matters. All that matters.
I'm only going to disagree with you for these reasons. Big E. What's the dude that was out here with draws and no elbow pads that won the Intercontinental Ezekiel Jackson? Ezekiel Jackson. Ezekiel Jackson ass is out here with draws and no pads, no elbow pads, no tape on his fingers, no so nothing.
Like, fresh out the orgy, like, yo, what we doing?
Right.
Like, bro, put some gear on, bro.
Put some gear on, man. Like, put a jacket on, have some accessories. Where are your accessories? Like, Ezekiel Jackson had no accessories whatsoever. He just did that. He had no accessories. Ezekiel Jackson is when you just was like, I'm just going to make a character on WWE 2K, and you just get so excited that you don't add nothing else. You just add a man with drawers and boots.
Oh,
he had no accessories. Like, he's Big E when Big E first won the Intercontinental Championship. He's Ezekiel Jackson when he first won the Intercontinental Championship. He is Apollo Crews when he first got it. It's like, and this is no, I'm an Obafemi fan. I'm just telling you, the Obafemi types that the WWE has had, they've had Obafemi types. and they win the championship, but they get in the spot, and then after a while, the crowd's like, ah, he's a big black dude. Who's next? All right. And then they get Future Endeavor, or they're almost there. Mm-hmm. Trick Williams, man, that lisp. Boy, the Lemon Pepper Peppers, like, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. And I feel like he's going to get on the main roster. They're going to give him the mic. And they're going to be like, what? What? And it's not going to be in a crowd versus Stone Cold type of way.
Yeah.
Javon Evans. That kid is young. He's bouncy. He's charismatic. I think he has the potential. But I'm glad that Donnie said this, because I don't agree with Black Edge, Donnie. I don't, because I don't want to hear, like, I be wanting to hear Edge get mad. I don't want to hear Trick get mad. I see where you're going, but no, I'm straight. I do see Oba. But this happened to Bobby Lashley, too. This happened to Bobby, low-key. What happened to Ezekiel Jackson, what happened to Big E, it happened to Bobby Lashley, too.
Yeah.
They get the big, burly black dude, and you like him until he get the belt. And like, oh, I don't really like him no more. Now they lose the belt, and they got to find their way. They got to figure it out from there. And you've made me this big, black, burly dude that's beating everybody ass. Now I lost the belt. Now what you want me to do? Javon Evans is definitely Kofi Shelton Benjamin. I don't know if any of them will be superstar potential because of the atmosphere of where they at. But if it was somebody that I felt like would be the closest to it, it would be Javon Evans.
Really?
Because he has the move set that will end up on the intro. Mm-hmm. When he does that cutter, I can already see the WWE then, now, forever.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can't see nothing but Obafemi doing this,
mm-hmm.
doing that. And Trick Williams, I can't see it. It's not to say it's not going to happen. Not to say all right. three of them won't be stars.
Right.
What I'm just saying is that when you look at the skill set, when you look at the move set, and when you know that the WWE is built off of moments,
mm-hmm.
not matches, moments, mm-hmm. I can see more of those moments happening with Javon Evans. They tried to make that moment where he tried to do the thing with Randy Orton and it missed.
Yeah, see? And let's stop right there. And that's my issue. My issue is not that I disagree with the trajectory, but what I'm watching now is Black Evan Bourne. That's what I'm watching right now. And we're going back to the, hey, you're athletic. You can do that, right? Like, just like, much like Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin is top tier, top shelf, class act, black wrestler. But unfortunately, a lot of his career is summed up into be able to take Sweet Chin Music while jumping off that top rope. And he's done so much more than that. He's so much greater than that. And, you know, one of the things that Javon Evans has going for him is that, yeah, he's ultra-athletic, he's ultra-young, there's a lot of time. However, the unfortunate part is I think they're going to use him to have the most, wow, did you see that, incredible finisher moments. And that's what he'll be reduced to. All of a sudden, he'll be a fierce competitor that just can't seem to get out the gates. I mean, look, they did that. They lessened Carmelo Hayes lower than that. He was an NXT champion. I get Javon Staller. I get it. But I don't know, man. I give Oba Femi the nod because, wildly enough, because of the entrance walk. I give it that because at the core, that's the thing Vince McMahon would be like, hey, nope, he's over. Put him at WrestleMania. Put him in. Do it now. Write it in. I don't care if he beats Big Boss Man. I don't care if he beats Kamala. I don't care who he beats. He's going to WrestleMania because we got to do this. We got to get the crowd and get shots of them doing this. We got to get it. So that's my worry. But I hope all of them at least reach solid, intangible, irreplaceable mid-card status if they can't be superstars.
I feel you. Look, I'm just happy to see three brothers out here in this conversation.
Yep.
Where years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. Like, we're literally having a conversation between Oba Femi, Javon Evans, and Trick Williams.
Yes.
On who would be the biggest star. And unless I'm missing something, that's it on the male side for NXT. Like, that's literally it. Nobody looking at Josh Briggs or Sean Spears or anybody else to be in that mode, yeah. Right? So just the fact that that is going on, and honestly, which is why we were so pissed that the Oba Femi Cody Rhodes match went the way that it went.
Yep.
Like, even in a losing situation, I think he would have been put over a lot bigger than he would in Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes feud getting mixed up into this. Well, speaking of Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre, y'all know what time it is. One of our favorite segments here. Do We Care? Segment where we look at some things in wrestling and we ask ourselves, do we care about what we saw, what is going on, all of that currently in the WWE. So we will start off with Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. It has been announced that they will have a 3 stages of hell match. One match will be one thing, second match will be the other. They go to a third, and we got that. So I'm thinking the first match is going to be a regular one-on-one match. The second match is probably going to be a last man standing match. And then the third one's going to be like an I Quit match or some shit like that. Do we care about this? And do we care even more or even less if Drew McIntyre loses this match?
Ironically, I care. Because him winning or losing, I think, determines what he does in the WWE, like in general. Like he may have to leave. and I say that because Drew McIntyre has now officially gotten too many title matches.
After losing the feud.
Yeah. 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 On top of that, so you can't even be like, hey, I mean, I know I'm not winning the title, but I'm beating all of y'all ass. Like, he can't even do that. So we got to make something make sense here. And since it's 3 stages of hell, I'm just going to go out on the limb and say they're going to get him the belt to maybe lose it by the Royal Rumble or Fastlane or whatever's going to come up. But right now, I kind of care because this is one of the most important. This is where the wins and losses will matter, folks. So that's why I care, because I think the win or loss will definitely matter for Drew McIntyre.
A guarantee that I have no faith in is that Drew McIntyre will win the Undisputed title on January 9th. Mm. I believe that a world title will change hands that week. I don't think it is CM Punk losing the belt. I think that it is Cody Rhodes losing the belt to Drew McIntyre, only to retain it at the Royal Rumble, which I'm cool with. Drew McIntyre has to win this match. Drew McIntyre has to win this shit. To the point where Drew McIntyre, to me, has to win because he's the one that's looking like a hoe.
Yeah.
He's the one that's right now looking like a hoe.
Yeah.
He needs to win this match. There needs to be a, I can't believe it, a shocking way to bring in SmackDown on the USA Network at the beginning of the year moment. It has to be Drew McIntyre winning that belt. I know I've picked Drew McIntyre in a couple of these, and he's not won it. I'm going to do it again. That is my guarantee. Drew McIntyre will win the Undisputed title, only to lose it at the Royal Rumble. I hope I'm right on this case. MJF defeated Swerve Strickland, Adam Hangman Page, and the former, now former world champion, Samoa Joe, to become the new AEW World Championship. Do we care?
Do we? You know what? I'm gonna say yes, because there should be. I haven't been on Twitter or X. There should be a firestorm about how, yes, see, the pillars are real. The pillars are real. They're the real leaders of the company. And MJF is the champion because he's the best wrestler in the world today. He's the best guy on the mic today. So I'm going to say yes, but we care, because that should be the conversation and the dialogue of all of the P1 AEW wrestling viewers and fans. For me personally, I do care, because if MJF is not going to come to the E, or if he's not going to, or if he's making it a point to stay in AEW, then I do think they need to do a better job of making him the top talent, making him an elite star, and making him the focal point of the organization, because that's what they need. If they're on the youth movement thing, if they're on the wrestlers that you haven't really seen before, then they need to start treating MJF like he is 2000 Chris Jericho, like he is 04 to 07 or 08 Miz or John Cena. That don't mean that he need to do the Marine 19 or anything, but that does mean that he absolutely needs to be elevated. There should be a level. That's the thing I think that's missing, and why your question of do we care is always valid, because yeah, people winning matches and people winning belts, but people not being elevated as stars like that over at AEW, and that's the real issue they have.
I don't care about MJF winning the championship, because probably in 2 months he's going to lose that to John Moxley.
See?
You don't know, but John Moxley looks like he's turned face last night, because this whole little skinhead group that he had going on, because that's what they are. I know y'all might be like, yo, but they got this. No, that's a skinhead group,
yeah,
that John Moxley was leading. It was American History X that he was leading, fam. But yeah, he celebrated everybody who was in the Continental Classic, and he ended up winning, and he was holding it proudly. So I feel like Claudio Castagnoli is going to jump him and the rest of the group, and they're going to kick him out of the skinhead group or whatever, and then he's going to beat them up, and he's going to be the world champion again. I don't care that MJF has the belt, because they've been playing hot potato. And if they're going to continuously play hot potato, this means that John Moxley is going to have that belt in like 2 to 3 months. So I don't care for that reason. The last one in the bunch, the Usos are back in the tag team division as you have predicted. So before I even do anything else, it ain't up in here. Wait a minute. Do I got it up in there? That Jey Uso by the end of 2025 will be back in the tag team division. He's back, y'all.
Hey. Hey, and I care. And it's the right move. All right. I care if it's the right move. The main event Jey Uso run was real. I think everybody got what they needed from it, as well as they did the test. The unlikely star to emerge from the biggest storyline of wrestling this decade. Okay, there was no bigger storyline in the Bloodline from 2020 to now. That is the biggest storyline. We already knew Roman Reigns was a star. He elevated that star. Sami Zayn was a star. That star elevated as well. Even Kevin Owens benefited from that. They got the headline a night of WrestleMania for the tag titles. That showed you how big that was. Now, on the flip side, who knew that all Jey Uso needed to do was leave and stop wearing red and black, and that the crowd, and he started 50 Usoing, that he would set the world on fire for another 2 years. Nobody saw that coming. But we're out of gas. It's time to fill up. But it's also time to get back to the basics. There are too many singles competitors, to be honest with you. And yeah, and all of that, it's cool. But Jey Uso matches leave much to be desired. He's been out the main event for a minute. He could still be hot. He got himself hot as a tag team competitor. Hey, now he's the Bret Hart of his tag team. Run with it. But this is where he belongs. This is where he belongs, because singles competitor Jey Uso. And you know what? Let me say it like this. Singles competitor Jey Uso was really fucking good. But tag team champion Jey Uso, tag team wrestler Jey Uso, is freaking phenomenal.
The Usos are a team that proved to me that you don't have to be a singles competitor to be one of the best. Jey Uso got his championship. I am very much okay with him being in a tag team again. Because to me, when they're together, there's no tag team better than the Usos. You could put them at the top of the card. The only thing that I don't like is who's going to be their competitors. Who's going to be their New Day? That's the only thing. But when we was full swing with the Bloodline, that tag team belt was just as important as the world championship to me.
Yep.
And I feel like that's what the Usos bring uniquely that no other tag team brings. That is the only reason that I could view this as a setback. That is the only reason why I could view that as that. Outside of that, to me, again, the Usos are the only tag team in the WWE that, to me, uniquely, them together uniquely puts them at the top of the card, just like anything else. It's going to take a little bit, because you're going to have to find their dance partner, the perfect dance partner for them. But I do believe that this is the right spot for Jey. If anything, I'm looking at this as being, could this make the way for Jimmy to have a solo run of some sorts? I'm not saying it should happen. I'm saying that is the only thing that make me think, like, okay, what could this do for Jimmy as a solo? Because he's the only one of the family that has not really had that. Outside of that, though, I am very much okay with the Usos being back in the tag team title division.
Yeah. To speak on Jimmy real quick, and Jimmy was my favorite Samoan. Like when we started all of this, right? But I think what the Usos do is they create tag team division, just like they did originally. Like, it wasn't until for this era, because I've always loved tag team wrestling, but for this era, it wasn't until New Day Usos on the pre-shows and that beginning of SmackDown or whatever that we started paying attention to tag team wrestling. And then from there, even though the New Day may have had the titles for the historic run, 400 some odd days, and they were beating the Usos, what everything the Usos did as far as being a tag team shaped the rest of that division. Because we can't forget, when the Street Profits got called up to the main roster, we were saying we can't wait to see them against the Usos, and we were under the impression that we couldn't have two successful black tag teams at the same damn time. So we like, and we're not really far removed from that world. We're not removed from that really far. That's not even 10 years ago now. So I look at this as like, you know what? We got lucky, because I think if we could have looked at the bloodline in a vacuum and said, who is the guy most likely to benefit from a solo career? I think the majority of just the universe would have picked Jimmy, because he's always just been better on the mic and more charismatic. So I think we just got lucky here with the moment that was main event Jey Uso. But in my world, they don't ever have to be singles competitors ever. It's just like, I mean, hey, look, hey, they pops and they uncle, right? The head shrinkers. Hey, we Fatu didn't look like Rikishi until Rikishi decided to be that. But I've never wanted to see Sammo win a singles match.
Nah, that's what? Hell no.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Hell no. Nah. I never want to see that on Superstars.
Yeah, see?
I never even want to see that. I never want to see a solo match from Sammo. I never want to see a solo match from Marty Jannetty. I never want to see a solo match from Jimmy Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah, man. Hey, Jimmy couldn't even pick the right music.
Yeah, straight. Yeah.
So,
then you made me think, like, who's the tag team? Who's the person in a tag team that you did not want to see wrestle solo? You now want to see them in singles competition.
B. Brian Blair, if I can consider number one or two. Hey, I didn't ever want to see the Warlord or the Barbarian in the singles match. I didn't want to see them in a singles match. I didn't want to want to see Axe or Smash. I cried when I figured he was the Repo Man. I didn't like that.
If you was watching Superstars and they was like such and such is wrestling in singles competition, who would that wrestler when you would frown your face if you see them a tag team?
like Santo with Tanaka, like, it's a bunch of them. It's a whole
like, I ain't never wanted to see, I honestly, like, I ain't want to see, what's the other Rougeau brother?
Oh, Jacques. No, Raymond. Raymond Rougeau.
Yeah, I ain't want to see Raymond Rougeau in a singles match.
Hey, listen. Everybody wanting the British Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other one. That's the other one.
You're right. Dynamite Kid. That suplex land. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants to see Jerry Skaggs. Nah, no. You're not doing that.
Brian Knobs. Right, Jerry Skaggs. No, I don't want to see him.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see Rory Animal.
Hey, listen.
Hulk, yeah. Hulk? Animal?
Yeah, man. Hey, why you listen. Solo?
We had that solo run. Like, yeah, why is he fighting for a title?
Yep. That was going so bad they called draws.
Yeah, I know. This was after draws. Remember that he had that solo run on SmackDown?
Oh yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, it's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, no, man. It ain't too many. Hey, listen. The British Bulldogs and the Steiner brothers. Them the only ones.
Not gonna lie to you. Not gonna lie to you.
Even Rick Steiner is a little sketchy.
Right. I ain't care to see Rick Steiner in the solo. Even the messed up thing about Rick Steiner is that when you first, depending on your age, mm-hmm. when you first saw Rick Steiner,
He was a solo guy. He was a member of the Varsity Club, depending on how old you are. You first saw him as a solo competitor, a former TV champion. But once his brother came and he was tagging, I did not care to see Rick Steiner in a solo. When they was like, oh, the Steiner brothers should know. When they broke up, I was like, just go your separate ways. Yeah. Don't even try to get your kid back on Scott, fam. I do not want to see Rick versus Scott. Nope. Not because they brothers. It's because I didn't want to see Rick in a solo match. Like, what was his finisher going to be?
I think it's the camel clutch or the power slam or something. Like, I don't know.
No, it was going to be the bulldog.
Oh, shit. That is right. But now
he's going to be the bulldog off the top rope. I don't want to see that.
You know, he's good.
I'm good. That's a great question. So next week, when we are back for the first show of the year, we're definitely going to talk about some of the things we will like to see in 2026.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great wrestling that's looked like it's upon us. There's a lot of going overseas that people like or don't like going on. And I feel like for at least the WWE, it is a transitional year. But I think it might be a good conversation to have, Ken, when we talk about those transitional years. Like, what have been the transitional years during our time and watching wrestling? So something to give y'all time to think about, because I feel like this is going to be that year where we start transitioning from all of the people that was, all of the CM Punks, Roman Reigns, all of those 45 and uppers, or almost 45s, and start transitioning to the Bron Breakers and the Bronson Reeds and all of those. So I gave my guarantee, though. And my guarantee is that Drew McIntyre will win the Undisputed Championship on January 9th. What's yours?
Again, my guarantee hope is that we start retirement tours now before somebody gets Chris Paul out here. And I think that's important. I guarantee we'll see maybe more retirement matches because this tour is levels and it ain't for everybody. A lot of y'all ain't passing no torch. You're just clearing out your locker space because the young guy needs a bigger space. Sorry.
Hey, man. Well, look, thank you all for joining us for 2025. Thank you for Scott and the Barbershed Network. Thank you to everybody who joins us in the chat. I'll let Camp finish it off for us.
Yes, man. Well, man, it's been a hell of a year personally. But hey, man, as far as this podcast go, man, it's been a great year of just talking with y'all, growing this audience, building that community. Everything that we do here at the FBC POD as care of Barber's Chair Network, man, it's special, man. It's special. It's an escape. It's a release. It's a chance for us to just talk our talk in a very safe space and build camaraderie. And listen, man, no matter what's going on in my life, I enjoy every single second of this. So thank y'all for being a part of it. Thank you for riding with us all 2025, even if you got around to us in July or maybe even this week or 2 weeks ago, man. You're always greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to doing this for another year, man. 2026, we're going to talk that wrestling talk like nobody else has ever done it before. And, we do it for the love, but hey, man, we do it for y'all, man. Because y'all keep us going with likes, comments, shares, rumor, innuendo, comments, suggestions, perspectives. All of it greatly appreciated. Whether we agree or not, never stop doing it. Never stop contributing. Because we sincerely and humbly thank you for every week that you do it and every day that you do it, man. So always, as always, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. And for the last time of 2025, I say it's the pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. And of course, fuck Johnny Wrestling.